Adapi shuni chena tagarapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Srila Kaviraj Das Goswami says that one should make a necklace by strewing this verse on the throne of the holy name, and one should wear it around one's neck for continuous remembrance. Trinadapi Shunichena. Lord Chaitanya explained that this is how to chant the holy name of the Lord. Trinadapi Shunichena. One should be more humble than the grass. Prabhupada explained that everybody walks on the grass, but then the grass never protests, "Why are you walking on me?" The grass lets everyone trample on it and doesn't complain. So one should become humble more than the grass. Trinadapi Shunichena. More than the grass. The example of humility, there are many. Sanatana Goswami, although he was a learned scholar, no photos please. Because what happens is, when you're taking photos, you're not listening. So even if someone says, "No photos please," you don't hear. But the class is meant for hearing. Photo ops can be some other time. Srila Sanatana Goswami was a great scholar. He had formerly a great high post in the government of Hussein Shah. And so many rich and influential contacts. What is that? Ashesha Mandala Pati Shunin. Naturally, any big government man, everybody wants to see him and get on his good side and do favors for him so that the favors will be returned. He's always being invited to functions at which the most aristocratic and influential people gather. So Sanatana Goswami, first of all, came from Saraswati Brahmin community, very top class Brahmin communities. Still, Gaur Saraswati Brahmins are their GSBs. So, he came from a very high family. He was super well connected. He was a great scholar, expert in affairs of state. That was very. And he was a great devotee of the Lord, a personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, handpicked. But he used to think of himself as the lowest person. When he was living at Puri, he used to avoid going by the main gate of the temple. He would go around on the beach. In the summer, the beach is so hot, the sands are scorching. But he would go that way to avoid the contaminating the pujaris. Pujaris are Lord Jagannath's personal servants. They should remain always in a pure condition. So Sanatana Goswami used to avoid going the main way, because he genuinely thought that I'm contaminated. I took up the service of the Lecha ruler became associated, didn't think, yes, I had so many big connections. He either became implicated with all of these materialistic people. So he was always very humble, Sanatan Goswami, although he was such an exalted person. And he writes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that if one wants to become, to advance in Krishna consciousness, one has to take up the path of abject humility. You're not just humble, it's good to be humble, everyone should be humble, but radical humility, extreme humility. That's his recommendation. There were many others also. Haridas Thakur, he thought of himself the same way, that I'm Lecha Haridas. And coming from a very low background. So in the material world, especially these days, people are encouraged to think of themselves in terms of how good they are. There are courses for building your self-esteem. Self-esteem means what you think of yourself. In what estimation do you hold yourself? And the thinking is that not high enough. You don't value yourself enough. So you need to take some training, some coaching, some counseling, so that you can have a higher opinion of yourself. And for that, you give money and so on. But this is just the opposite. This is called the cultivation of ignorance. The cultivation of knowledge is described in the Bhagavad Gita. And the first item is humility. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa kshantir arjavam acharya pasanam shocham stharyam atman vinigraha indriyartesha. And so on. The first item out of these items of knowledge is that one should be humble. One should be humble. Humility is the beginning of knowledge. If one is puffed up, he can't learn anything. He's a know-it-all. What can you teach a know-it-all? Prabhupada said that in surrendering to the spiritual master, one has to become like a blank slate. Again, the Sanatana Goswami said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the local people call me Pandit Ji, learned, they think of me as a learned scholar. And I also think of myself the same way. I sign on to their opinion. But I'm such a pundit that I don't know who I am or why I'm suffering. Can you please instruct me about that? He didn't approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm coming from a very high family, and I'm, of course, Saraswat Brahman. And I'm very sharp. I was a government minister. And I'm very austere also. Now you please tell me about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I'm a qualified person to hear. He asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who am I? Kayami. And why are these miseries, threefold miseries, always giving me trouble? He presented himself as a fool before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the method. Arjuna also, dharma samudha chaita, karpanya dosho pahatasha bhava, prichyamitam dharma samudha chaita. He presented himself as confused, dharma sammuddha chaita, completely ignorant, completely confused about what my duty is. Previously, so many arguments, Krishna, this, this, and according to Shastra, Bhakti Tuna Shushuma, this, that, Papa Deva Shreya Dasma, sin will overcome us, better to live by begging than to live at the cost of Pujarha Varisudana Devi, worshipable superiors. This argument, that argument. In that position, he couldn't solve his problems. He was able to make progress only when he surrendered to Krishna, when he accepted, I don't know. I don't know how to solve this problem. Shishyasteham sharimam tvam papanya. Therefore, I surrender to you. Shishya means one who presents himself for discipline. A disciple means coming under the discipline of the spiritual master. Vasam Danta Guru. One is trained to become the servant. Prabhupada one time, someone asked him, what is the position of the disciple? And Prabhupada, there were some disciples there, Prabhupada said, he said. So the disciple said, servant, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, menial servant. Menial servant. He may have been a king's son, but he takes the position of the menial servant. Menial means any low job. Krishna was collecting firewood for Shandipani. So, this is humility. Samit Pani Shrotyam Pramanishta. With firewood in one's hands, one approaches this, but means that I'm your servant. Our whole disease is that we're thinking that we're the master of everything. Ishara ham ham bhogi siddho ham balavan sukhi adyo vijanavan asmi kon yosti sadvisho maya. Who else is there like me? I have so many aristocratic relatives. Adyo vijanavan asmi kon yosti sadvisho maya. I have so many qualifications. Dumbo, Darpo, Vimanas, Chakro, Dabarush, Mevacha. These are the qualifications to be puffed up. Demonic mentality. Ityagana Vimohitam. This way one is bewildered. Ishro, Hambhogi. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. These are the two divisions of material consciousness. Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi, I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy. In this way one becomes a fool. So the opposite process to get free from this bewilderment, one should take a very humble position. Trinadapi Shuni Chain. More humble than the grass. And Turori Vasihishna. Tolerance. Like the tree. The tree, when it's thirsty, never cries out for water. And when the sun is beating down or the rain is beating down on the tree or people are carving their initials on the tree or taking its fruits or tearing off its branches, the tree never complains. Who do you think you are? No. You take your fruit, take flowers, children strip the bark off trees. And still the tree gives shade, still the tree gives fruits or flowers. The tree doesn't hold back. It's tolerant. The tree is the example of tolerance. Lord Chaitanya praised the trees, that the trees are like great sages. Krishna also praised the trees like that. They're like great sages. Tolerant. Trinadapi sunichena turori vasihishnuna. Because if one wants to be a devotee, one will run into so much criticism, one will run into so many obstacles, one will run into so many difficulties. Prahlad Maharaj, his father, presented so much trouble. But one doesn't have to be the son of Hiranyakashipu. The material world is constituted in such a way. There must be trouble. Trouble from other living beings, trouble from the body and mind, trouble from nature. Mind becomes agitated. So many. Krishna advises that one has to tolerate. Tamsta diksha subhara. One has to tolerate. What is that? Prakshurira vimokshanat kama krodod bhavam vegam sayuktasa sukhi navaha. What's the first line? Prakshurira vimokshanat. Anyway, same meaning, that one has to tolerate. Tolerate the forces of material desire, material anger. One has to tolerate the troubles from the body and mind, the troubles from others. Other living beings, especially human beings, are so troublesome. Trinadapi sunichena turoripi sihishnana amanina manadena. Manina means pride. Manina. One expects to be respected. Maybe he doesn't expect to have a 21-gun salute when he enters the town, but everyone feels entitled to a certain amount of respect. Either because he's older or because he's something. Because he's your older cousin, or because he's senior in the company, or because he's doing very important work, or one reason or another, or just because he's a good guy. He expects a certain amount of respect. Mm-hmm. You know what internal dialogue is? Internal dialogue, are you familiar with the term? The way we talk to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Everyone has an internal dialogue going on, he's talking to himself. And generally the talk is about why we're right and others are wrong. Why we're better in some way. Why, in some way, we have it together, we know what we're doing, we deserve better, or we're pretty good, I'm looking good today, feeling good today, have my act together. Somebody said something about me, praising me, and quite to the point. Actually, it was only, if they only knew the full extent of my qualifications, they only touched upon it. They didn't mention this. We give some charity, we throw the bum a dime, and for the next 20 minutes we're thinking, yes, I threw the bum a dime. Other people probably wouldn't have thrown the bum a dime, but I threw the bum a dime. I'm trained that way because I come from a good family and I was trained to be charitable. Krishna says everyone, no one should give up charity, so I follow these rules because I'm a dharmic person. In fact, I would probably, if someone asked me, I'd give $100 or $200 for a worthy cause, not for an unworthy cause, because I'm a discriminating person, mind you, but for a worthy cause, I would give free-handedly. I've given so much before, I would give my more. Because I believe in kindness to other people. I'm good to my family, I'm good to my friends. I try to be good to others wherever I go. But I don't try to advertise it. You know, there's all these stupid people, they just go, they're so proud and puffed up, but I don't do that. This is called internal dialogue. It's the subject matter. The summary is how great I am. The grounds for my greatness is that I'm this body. Who was that? Muhammad Ali, you know, because he had such a powerful body. I'm the greatest. Because he was pretty good after all, but I'm the greatest. Because we have a physical power, or because we have mental power. If we're sharp in finance or in science or in scholarship or in something, then so I'm thinking I'm great because of the body and because of the mind. If not my body, then the bodies with which I'm associated. You know, I'm the son of such and such. He's a high court judge. Even from childhood, you know, my daddy can beat up your daddy. Or I'm told by reliable sources that girls in school, you know, they talk about, you know, what does your father do? Boys too, for that matter. What does your father do? And then the discussion is going on, and then everybody's sizing everybody else up that way, you know. Well, her fathers are this, but her fathers are that, but my fathers are this. Anyway. It's no personal qualification, but in relationship to someone else, I assume various qualifications. I'm born in such and such family, and this and that. I'm white, or I'm black. Or I'm Indian, or I'm American, or I'm not American. Something in terms of this body and something in terms of the mind. Sarvapadi. In terms of bodily designations, we build ourselves up. But devotional service means sarvapadi vinir mukta. To be free from these things. Bhakti Chara Shani Maharaj Ki Jai. So, manina, we're puffed up by a sense of false prestige in terms of what I'm not. I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. Therefore, I'm not American, I'm not Indian, I'm not white, I'm not black, I'm not a PhD, I'm not a professor, I'm not a rich man, I'm not a this, I'm not a that. but I'm thinking that I'm these things. And in relationship to these bodily designations, I become proud. Even some mean qualification, you know, chief garbage collector is proud because he's number one. His natural psychology, he wants to get on someone's good side and compliment the person. You did that very nicely. Or I saw your picture in the newspaper. Something. And then the person gets going. Yeah. So the tendency is to become proud. That's our conditioned situation. Proud of what we're not. So amanina means giving up this sense of false pride and false prestige. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm not any of these things. Naham dipro, naham nanapatir. I'm not any of these bodily designations. Gopi bhata padakamaleo, dasa dasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. The Prabhupada said, each time you add servant, your position is better. Servant of the servant, 1,000 times the servant. Ekala Ishra Krishna Sabhitya. The only controller is Krishna. And everyone else is servant. Therefore the devotee doesn't want to take credit for himself. When Srila Prabhupada was being praised, he would transfer the praise to his Guru Maharaj, to Krishna. And if I have any qualification, it's simply that I'm following my Guru. Giving the credit elsewhere, not that it's my personal credit. This is the nature of the devotee. He doesn't take the credit, but manadena. He wants to give credit, he wants to give honor, he wants to give respect to everyone. Prabhupada said, Vaishnava gives respect even to the ant. Therefore, it's sometimes Prabhupada is asked that it seems that we disrespect the demigods. Because we have that we discussed yesterday, to think that the demigods are on the same platform as the Supreme Lord is nama-parad, an offense to the holy name. But on the other side, the devotee doesn't disrespect the demigods. The devotee is respectful, Prabhupada said, even to the ants, so to speak of the demigods. It's just that we aren't confused about who's who. But a devotee is respectful to everyone. That's the nature of a devotee. Dhira di rajana priyo priyakaro. Near Matsuro, about the Goswamis, it said, they weren't envious of anyone. That's another characteristic of conditioned life. We're good, and if it seems that someone else is better, then we're envious. If she's more good-looking, if he's got more money, if his car is newer, if he got better grades, then we're envious. Because this is the relative world, so I'm down in relationship to others who are up. So if I can pull the others down, then I'm up. Either pull them down, you know, actually. We had some friend, and we have a devotee friend who was in Kuwait, and he was preaching Krishna consciousness in Muslim country. Colleagues who was a Hindu came to know of it, so he spread the word around to the higher ups so that this man would lose his job or be expelled from the country, because that way the man who spilled the beans would go up. You know, he's one step above me. If he's out, then I'm one step up. That's envy. If someone else is making progress, we become unhappy, because that means he's going ahead of me. Watch people on a queue. They're standing on a queue and everybody's watching very carefully to make sure nobody gets ahead. Or they're looking to see if they can get ahead. Everyone's envious. The material world is like that. Prabhupada gave the example. You know that story about the two lawyers are sitting, and one says to the other, "Did you hear that Chakravarti has been made high court judge?" And the first lawyer says, "No, that guy, not possible. Him? How could? No, it's true. I've seen him. He's sitting on the bench." Getting paid. Somehow to tear someone else down, because if others are brought down, then I'm, relatively speaking, going up. Even with Krishna. Huh? Abhijananti mamudha manushim tadamashrita. To try to bring Krishna down to the level of an ordinary human being. Out of envy. There are two possible approaches. One is to drag Krishna down. You know, he's just a myth, he's just a story, he's just a this, he's just a that. Shishupal, nobody knows whether he's a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, nobody knows whether he's the son of Vasudeva or Nandamaj. He's afraid of all the kings, or on and on and on. To drag Krishna down, he's just a mythical hero in the Mahabharata. He's immoral, he's this, he's that. Or boost myself up. Aham Brahmasmi. I'm the supreme. That's the ultimate conceit. It's bad enough I'm thinking that I'm the chief garbage collector, but beyond that, now I want to become identical with the Absolute. Or I want to declare myself God. I'll go to some yoga class and now the Swamiji will advise me to sit still and realize that you are God. That's worth $20. Either I'll try to boost myself up or drag God down or drag myself up. Envy. So envy starts at the top, envy of Krishna. And then envy of others. But the Goswamis, Nirmatsaranam Satam, is the qualification of a devotee. Goswamis had no envy toward anyone. They were dear to the gentle people, to the cultured, honest people. And they were dear even to the dacoits, the rogues, the ruffians. Because everyone saw that these Goswamis, they're the humblest people. They don't have any false prestige. They have no enemy. They're kind toward everyone. In Vrindavan, there was some household dispute. The disputing parties would come to the Goswamis. "We're having this argument. Could you settle this for us?" And the Goswamis wouldn't say, wait a second, you know, I'm writing an important book. It's going to be the law book for 10,000 years. No, they would. So kind that they would give attention even to such matters. Nirmatsa, they had no enemies. They were not envious of anyone. Pujita, therefore they're worshipable. Bande rupa sanatana vagunyana vidiva gopalaka. So they're setting the example. Kirtaniya sadahari. How to chant Hare Krishna always. If I'm busy cultivating my false prestige, how can I chant Hare Krishna? How can I hear the holy name if I'm busy hearing my internal dialogue about my own glories? How can I serve Krishna when I'm still thinking that I'm the master and that others should be serving me? So, Krishna consciousness means adopting radical humility. Radical humility, radical tolerance. Of course, we don't tolerate when there's offenses to the Lord or to the devotees. The same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wrote this verse, when Nityananda Prabhu was attacked by Jagai Madhai, he became like fire. Not that he was, no, I'm a Vaishnava, I'm tolerant. We don't, on our own account, we can tolerate anything. But when the devotee is offended, or when Krishna is offended, the same humble, tolerant devotee becomes like a lion. We saw that Prabhupada was the most humble person, but for Krishna's service, he could be like a lion. Kirtaniya Siddhahari, one is advised, always chant. And how to chant in this humility, tolerance, offering respect to all others. Prabodhananda Saraswati, yes, set the example how to preach. He says that I'm honoring you in so many ways. I'm taking straw between my teeth and falling at your feet. Hey, Sadhava, you're a great saintly person. You just give up all your nonsense and surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You don't mind giving respect. One time, Prabhupada was explaining how to deal with college students. He was speaking to some disciples. He said that you patiently hear them, let them speak, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Although he's speaking so much nonsense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting patiently. He said, after all, they're puffed up. He said, after all, they deserve it. Scholars. And then you give a message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chanadapi Sumi Chaina Tarodapi Sahishana Amanina Manadena Kirtani Sadhana. Okay, are there some questions?
Speaking, I also found that they also have challenges. the first thing is family life is a challenge for everyone. It doesn't matter. It's Indian or Western. One time Prabhupada said that was the advantage of the Westerners. He said that you're not very much attached to family. That's the quality of a great soul. He finds something good in everyone. So whatever we were, Westerners, totally uncultured and uncivilized. But one good thing, that we weren't very attached to family. So it was easier for us to join the Krishna consciousness movement. Indian people are more civilized, more cultured, therefore they're very too much attached to family life. Very difficult young man to join the Hare Krishna movement. And if he's the oldest son, still more difficult. If he's the only son, impossible. Raghunath Das Goswami had the problem. He was the only son of his father and uncle. So it was very difficult for him to get free from all the entanglement. He was a big, you know, like the heir apparent to the family fortune. He wanted to tie him up in ropes, but literally tie him up. So family life is challenging that way. Now what to do? There are different ways of approaching the matter, of course. One is to be very... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Raghunath Das Goswami that outwardly you just be like pounds and pence man. Just outwardly be a pukka materialist and internally be Krishna conscious. Don't be like a monkey jumping around and pretending to be a vairagi. You just outwardly present yourself as if you're normal and inwardly cultivate Krishna consciousness. Well, that was one advice. But ultimately, Raghunath Das Goswami cheated his family members. He found some opportunity by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu. His Guru Maharaj, they needed a pujari someplace temporarily, so he was going with his Guru Maharaj to serve as the pujari, but then he sort of took a wrong turn and wound up in Puri. So he cheated everyone. Prabhupada mentioned about himself, he said, we also had the opportunity to cheat our family members. He didn't take a vote among the family members. Is it all right if I leave? He left. The advice Jesus Christ gave to his disciples about dealing with family, he said, let the dead bury the dead. Some disciples said, I have to bury my father, and then I can let the dead bury the dead. So it's an individual question. First thing is, we like them to have kind thoughts and to have appreciation, but finally we care what Krishna thinks. When Gopal Krishna Maharaj had just joined and he wanted to be initiated, he asked permission of his father, and Prabhupada wrote back to him and said, why did you ask him? Radical, you know, you think he was a dutiful son, you know, coming from an Indian family. Naturally, he asked the permission of his father and mother, can I be initiated? Why did you ask them? Radical. But ultimately, our business is to please Krishna. Ekala Ishara Krishna. Our business is to satisfy Krishna. So the whole world may be dissatisfied. And if Krishna is satisfied, everything's all right. Madhavendra Puri has a prayer like that. He says that he's offering obeisances to his Vedic duties. He's offering obeisances to taking bath three times a day. He's offering obeisances to his forefathers and to, you know, all the other people that you're supposed to. And says, forgive me. I can't really do anything for you anymore because I'm going to serve Krishna. And that's the... These other relationships are temporary. Somebody's my mother, someone's my father, someone's my this. That's our first instruction, that we're not this body. How did Krishna tell Arjuna to deal with his family members? Kill them. How's that for Indian culture? Kill them. Kill your grandfather. Kill your teacher. Kill your brothers. Kill your uncles. Finally, it's Krishna's satisfaction, which is the standard of proper action. If Krishna is satisfied, then everything is a success. Samsiddhi Haritosham. And if we do everything else perfectly, and Krishna is not satisfied, then it's a waste of time. So diplomatically or sincerely, we try to please our family members in different ways, and if possible, induce them to become devoted to Krishna. There are some success stories also. If possible. But finally, the most important thing is to be engaged in the service of Krishna. Yeah, sometimes, I mentioned the other day that sometimes verses are translated different ways. Sometimes they're also written different ways. Taror Iva, in at least in that one place in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Does it appear, it may appear someplace else in a different way, I don't know. Just that way, Taror Iva. But Prabhupada gave Taror P someplace. So we accept it. But Tarariva in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Meaning is the same. Yes. Loud, loud. Jorsay Bali. Yes.
But where it will go, the translator to find it out and proper way to put it in.
Yes. All the words have double, triple meanings. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the Atmarama verse with so many different meanings. What is 64 different meanings? Then he again explained to Sanata Goswami and said, oh, by your association, I just thought of another meaning. Then he said, actually, each word has unlimited meanings because the book is non-different from Krishna, and Krishna is unlimited. So every word, every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam has unlimited meaning. Or we can read and read, and there's always something new, new meaning. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Bring bhakti into the yoga process and still achieve what?
And eliminate the impersonal aspects.
Yeah, first of all, there's no yoga without bhakti. Otherwise, it's not yoga. Jnana yoga, bhakti, ashtanga yoga. Yoga implies there has to be some sort of bhakti mixed in. Otherwise, it doesn't work. some devotion has to be there. But then there's Kevala Bhakti, pure devotional service. That's our goal. But any yoga, some devotion must be there. So, yes, devotional service can be brought into these other things. Generally, that's called mixed devotional service. There's Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti. One is attached to karma, but he brings some bhakti into it. Or one is attached to bhakti, but he can't give up his attachment to karma. Or he's pursuing bhakti, but he's still stuck in cultivating philosophical knowledge or impersonal knowledge. So it's Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Or he's a Jnani, but some bhakti is getting mixed in, so it's Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So one can bring devotional service. But ultimately, devotional service, when it's brought in, will get rid of impersonalism. But it's a long trek. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prabhajyate. Krishna says, after many, many births, after cultivating knowledge for many, many births, bahunam janmanamante gyanavan, when he actually comes to the point of real knowledge, mam prabhajyate, he surrenders to me. That's the conclusion of yoga. Vasudeva para yoga. Yoga means to become Krishna conscious, to surrender to Krishna. But people get stuck along the way. Ooh, mystic powers. I could create a planet. Ooh, I can get people to do whatever I want. Ooh, I can do this, I can do that. Become distracted. Distracted by karma, distracted by jnana. Therefore, what is that? Jnana karma, karma kanda, jnana karma. Kanda, Kevala Vishaya Panda, Narottam Das Thakur. So these are like two pots of poison. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda. You can take the Ashtanga Yoga as another pot of poison. Of course, the devotee, he tries to bring to the karmis, to the jnanis, to the yogis, to everyone, the conclusion of devotional service. Does that answer your question?
Is the point that the body is healthy, fit, so that the mind is calm, you can focus more on japa?
Generally what happens is that Prabhupada generally speaks of the yogis as being too much attached to the bodily concept of life. You know, their focus is this body. The breathing, the sitting, the feelings of purification, and that's the whole business. They get so much wrapped up in that, that someplace on the periphery, there may be something spiritual, but they get wrapped up. What is that in the beginning of yoga? Work is said to be the means. So they're working on their respiration, they're working on this, they're working on that, they're working on their diet, they're working on their so many things. And they don't really, they're slowly. And we see, practically speaking, we see so many people who are practicing yoga and they're really feeling great. Yeah. You know, and they're eating sprouts. And they can't understand Krishna consciousness because they're feeling great and eating sprouts. And it becomes another maya. And they don't need to chant Hare Krishna because they're practicing yoga. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada was asked if for health one could practice, some disciple asked, for health can we practice yoga? Prabhupada said yes. He said, or jumping jacks. gave no special prestige to the yoga system or postures and exercises. Yoga and jumping jacks. Came to Krishna consciousness, you gave up yoga because of discussions like this.
Right, exactly. So, and I had been practicing, and I thought, well, I don't need to do this. So for many years, I engaged myself in temple services and taking care of the deities and running the temple, being temple president, etc. And then there came to a point, because of my own psychophysical nature,
your body started falling apart because you weren't doing anything.
So I started doing some yoga, and not, you know, seeing it as the path for self-realization or to replace my bhakti, but as a way to be able to enable me to be able to still dance for Krishna, sit on the floor.
So you found yoga helpful for your health?
I found it helpful, and then I found it also to be a way to sometimes form a bridge, like, you know, I went to the yoga class, and then I would bring prasadam for everyone, and then I started substitute teaching classes, and at the end of class I would chant Hare Krishna or play the music that we play. But I always stressed to people, you know, that my path was, you know, Krishna consciousness and devotional service, and this was just some way to keep.
So two things happened. Your health improved, and you found a way to
preach.
Anyone tried jumping jacks? Oh, no, I thought you were putting your hands up because you'd practiced jumping jacks. Anyway, what sometimes Prabhupada would say, whatever. You know, for your health, whatever works. You know, you go to an Ayurvedic doctor, you go to a Western doctor, you go to a homeopathic doctor, you go to this guy, you go to that guy, you do jumping jacks, you do some Surya Namaskar, you know, whatever is going to work, you do something. That's all right. Again, Prabhupada didn't give any special prestige to yoga, but if, as they say, if it works for you, or that is, if whatever helps your health, very good. And then for preaching, sure, whatever. If by coming in contact with some yoga people you can preach, or by being a doctor you can preach, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, if you're a car mechanic, you know, everybody has to surrender to you because they're dependent on you, because you're the only one who can fix their car, and therefore you're now in a position to tell them what the absolute truth is also. You give people a book. Any excuse. That's basically our program. Any excuse for giving people Krishna consciousness. Because we went to school with them, or because we didn't go to school. You know how devotees distribute books sometimes? Like Vaisheshika Prabhu will say, are you from around here? And if the person's from around here, that's a good reason for him to take a book. And if the person's not from around here, well, great, that's another good reason not to take the book. So everything's an excuse for why we should approach people and give them Krishna consciousness. Because they're family members, because they're not family members, you're a stranger, really. You know, fantastic. You know, you're not from around here? No. Welcome. You know, here's a book. Because they're interested in yoga, because they're not interested in yoga. Everything's an opportunity. And Vaisheshika Prabhu, another thing, he says, he'll give someone a book and the person will say, well, you know, thank you, but I'm a Muslim. So I put the book down and say, oh, well, take this one. This is for the Muslims. Yes.
How do we apply the Punabhati Samhita verse as a parent when bringing up a child in Krishna
our humble obeisances to the children and to offer our tea. Humble means you have to do your duty. Right? Not that we become so humble that we can't tell our kid to shut up. Especially during my classes. Sometimes Prabhupada, of course, would be super stern. No one could be more, well, guru means heavy. No one could be heavier than Prabhupada with his disciples. He could be sarcastic. You'll be intelligent in 1,000 years. And then more sarcasm on top of that, and more sarcasm on top of that. You're fooled. You're this, that. Prabhupada could be very strong. But then sometimes Prabhupada would say, don't mind, he said, it is my duty. And he would quote Chanakya Pandit, that it's the duty of the father or the spiritual master to be strong with the son or disciple. That's the duty. So that criterion is there. It's not that because I'm telling my kid what to do, now I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's my duty. It's my duty. So it's not that in the name of humility we give up our duties. One has to, but in understanding that it's my duty. It's not that I'm the chief of police, but I'm temporarily given the duty of chief of police. So I have to, since I'm the chief of police, I have to act like the chief of police. But actually I'm just a das, anudas, anudas, anudas. But someone gave me the duty of chief of police, I have to take the duty. But someone takes a position, and if he's proud, then everyone sees this. He's puffed up, full of false prestige. And if someone's humble, you know, just a job. I'm just doing my duty. Even in those circles where someone has a big, it's sort of the culture. That, you know, you just wiped out the whole enemy, you just did all this and this and this and this, and you know, they pin a medal on you and say, I was just doing my duty. Right? You don't say, I'm the greatest guy on the block. The culture demands, if you have any kind of culture, say, you know, I don't deserve this, I was just doing my duty. Where there's still some culture, the soldier says, no, I was just doing my duty. And if you puts the medal on his chest and says, yeah, no one else could have done it, but I did it. I can take back the medal. So I may have whatever duty it is, and I have to do that. But while doing my duty, I have to think that actually I'm just a tiny, 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 tiny servant of Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Today, I think it was mentioned that on our own account, we're very tolerant, but when Krishna or his devotees are offended, we become like a lion. Mm-hmm. And I think it was mentioned yesterday, there was a question about someone being offended, but it was a devotee. So does this becoming a lion apply only to non-devotees? Because when we were discussing the 10 offenses yesterday, and Sadhananda said that we should be really, really careful and even kind of trying to ameliorate a situation where a devotee maybe was offended by another devotee, or so does that kind of demeanor apply to non-devotees when they're being offended, or is it kind of a general principle?
I'm a little confused by your syntax. Are you asking whether a devotee tries to keep peace between people generally? Is that what you're asking?
I guess when you said that we should, when they're very tolerant on their own account, but when someone else's, when a devotee is being offended, we should become like a lion. Mm-hmm. When that person that's offending the other devotee is a devotee, are we still...
Oh, do you still act like a lion? Maybe like a cub, you know? We should be a little careful. The advice is that when senior devotees are in dispute, we should disappear. And don't enter into that controversy. When senior, just like when your parents are having a fight, you know, you don't get into that. That's not your territory. So when senior devotees are having some disagreement, we should keep out of that and not jump in. Even Shobhanananda Prabhu was telling us yesterday that Prabhupada used to speak sometimes very, very strongly about some of his godbrothers. But Shobhanananda Prabhu said that if Shobhananda, started to say something about one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Prabhupada would just shut him down. That's not for you. So one should not enter into the disputes between senior devotees. That's very much inadvisable. The Acharyas have specifically warned us, don't get into that, stay out. Then among our peers, there are various strategies. You may also disappear, let them fight it out. You don't have to get into every difference of opinion. You may try to be a peacemaker. That's nice. You can get into it also, but be careful. Sometimes if we see that a devotee is being wronged, we may try to set that right. You know, Prabhu, he meant well, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Try and smooth it over. You can do that. Try not to make it worse. Something else? Yeah, sometimes it's hard to know. Should I be humble and stay quiet? Should I speak up and
right. Yeah, because later it hurts.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, in
whichever one we do, we'll think I should have said something or I shouldn't have said something.
Right.
Therefore, one has to chant the holy name of Krishna and depend on Krishna and know also from Shastra as far as possible what I should do, what I shouldn't do, and then depend on Krishna. Shastra, we should try to understand what to do and what not to do. And how to understand Shastra, we have to chant Hare Krishna and depend on Krishna. There was another question. Okay.
When you go out at work, if you become too humble,
then you can't make it in your career. Make politics. Well, Prabhupada told that story about Narad Muni and the snake. You know that story? And Narad Muni made a snake into a Vaishnav. Narad Muni goes everywhere and makes Vaishnavas. So on one occasion he made a snake into a Vaishnav. And he instructed the snake that no intoxication, no gambling, no meeting, no illicit sex, and don't bite anyone. Now you're a Vaishnav, so you shouldn't bite. You know, snakes are, they go around biting. Don't bite anyone. So, snake became a Vaishnava and he wasn't biting anyone. Then again he saw Narad Muni and he said that, but now I'm not biting, but the children came to know that I don't bite, so they're taking advantage. They're throwing stones at me, they're, you know, giving me a hard time because they know that I won't bite. So then Narad said that, yes, you shouldn't bite, but still you can raise your hoods as if you're going to bite. So again, a Vaishnava is humble, but he does what he has to do. He does his duty. So if I'm to speak before a meeting, then I have to be confident, I have to seem like I really know what I'm talking about, I have to, you know, do the whole thing that you're supposed to do. So it's not that because I'm a Vaishnava I have to get up and say, well, I know I'm not more qualified than anyone else here, and I didn't really prepare, but... He does his duty in the appropriate fashion, but he thinks of Krishna and knows that I'm just doing this by Krishna's grace. I've got some ability to speak or some job to do, or by Krishna is giving me some power. Krishna can take away the power. If Krishna desires, the speech will go well. If he doesn't desire, it will fail. So he's not puffed up. I get the greatest speeches in town. Everybody looks to me because I really am. I'm hot stuff. I know what I'm doing. Success after success. No, he's not. Prabhupada said, false plumes. You know, your hat has all these feathers in it, and none of them belong to you. Yeah, you've got the best suit in town, and it's rented. And you're proud of your fancy suit. No. So, we should know that everything is, the credit is all Krishna, if there's any credit. But I have to do what my duty requires. One time, I told one Gopal, today is Gopal Krishnamurti story day. I told one story about him, I'll tell another. That we were seeing Prabhupada off at an airport, Kennedy Airport. And in the evening flight, and we had this VIP room that we arranged for, and the room was filled with devotees. And Gopal Krishnamurti came in. At that time, he was working for a company, big company. And he came straight from work, and he offered obeisances, and he said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I'm sorry that I came in my karmi clothes. Prabhupada said, not karmi. He's a karma yogi. Anashruta karma palam karyam karma karotiya. The person who performs his prescribed duty without attachment. Now he's a yogi. So a devotee performs his prescribed duties but without a sense of false prestige. Just like Prabhupada, he's chastising his devotees, he's blasting the Mayavadis, and at the same time he's thinking that I'm just a humble servant of Krishna. But it's my duty to chastise my disciples, to blast the Mayavadis, and so on. Shall we stop here? Yeah. Thank you all very much. I really appreciate it.